creation began with hope. In the first verses of the Bible, God called hope out of the chaotic darkness. The reading of the Lord's Word, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. At the beginning, there was so much hope. Into this hope-filled world, God brought the first man and first woman, Adam and Eve. They knew God and walked with him in the garden, but the serpent prowled in the darkness. The great tempter introduced fear and mistrust into paradise. He told Adam and Eve that God did not have their best interest at heart, and they accepted what he said and placed their hope in themselves instead of God. At that moment, it seemed like all hope was lost, yet Adam and Eve and all humanity tasted sin for the first time. God offered hope. God cursed the serpent and condemned him to the dust. Then God promised that one of Adam and Eve's descendants would come and redeem the beautiful world they had lost. God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." Church tradition refers to this verse as the first gospel. The word gospel means good news. And this verse tells us that the good news that God is going to send a rescuer to crush the serpent and restore our broken relationship with God. The serpent will strike at the heel of the rescuer, but the rescuer will crush the serpent's head by its heel. Today, as we light the candle of hope, we remember how God gave us hope when all seemed lost in the garden. This hope is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. At Christmas, we celebrate the arrival of the baby born to crush the serpent's head. At the cross, Jesus provides hope for any who turn themselves and turn to God. Jesus tasted the sting of death, but rose in victory over sin and death. He now offers the hope of eternal life for any who believe in his name. Jesus is a hope worth celebrating this Christmas.
I'm so excited about this morning. Love this time of year. It is glorious. It is good. It is filled with hope. Thanks to Chad and Melanie for kicking us off here. I'm excited. I think we've got one of the most prettiest Advent wreaths in that I've ever seen. We want you to be able to see it, because as we light these candles each week, hope and peace and joy and love, and then we celebrate the Christ and the Christ candle in the center around Christmas time. It will be it's just glorious. For me, this is what I anticipate each week as we light these candles. Just a reminder of another truth of who God is and who He wants to be for us. But as Mike said when he was up here, our series this year is called "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," and we'll get to that slide in just a minute. But we're talking about both the first and the second advents of Jesus. That he came in the first advent as a babe, and was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in the manger. But also, because as we're people of faith, we look forward to the second advent, his second coming, right, where he comes to rule and to reign. And so we want to kind of, each week of this Advent season, we want to compare and contrast both the first advent, Jesus is coming in the first advent, to his coming in the second advent. And you're going to see both some opposites, but you're also going to see some similarities as well. And so today, as we jump in, we're going to read the text that we will read. We're going to read a few texts, but mainly each week we want to read the text that helps us walk to the manger with Jesus for his birth. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, and I believe we're going to be reading verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, it'll be on the screen behind me as I read it. So hear the word of the Lord, and then we will jump into week one of our 2022 Advent season. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God, Grace Life Church. Thanks be to God. Well, again, this year our theme for our Advent services and season is comparing and contrasting the two Advents of Jesus. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came to earth, right? A little over 2,000 years ago. We often refer to this as his incarnation or taking on human flesh. He was Emmanuel, which means God with us, that we just read. This is the first Advent of Christ. Yet the Bible also teaches that Christ is coming again. Amen? He is coming again. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page there. History will come to a close and it will be consummated when Christ returns to judge the nations. And this will be the second advent of Christ. And so over the next 4 weeks, Mike and I's plan, by the grace of God, is going to be to compare and contrast these two advents. There are places where they are similar. Again, there are places where they are different. And as we look at these two advents together as a church family, we want to be thankful in looking back to the first advent. Because of it, we can be hopeful to the second advent, yes? Because Christ came once, we can be hopeful that he will come again and fulfill everything that he said he was going to fulfill. So remember, as we look at the candle of hope today, remember that hope that is ours because of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to consider, come thou long expected Jesus. We're talking about the coming of Christ. And we're going to look today how he came both in humility the first time and how the second coming he will come in exaltation. So let's look at the first advent, okay? The first advent of Christ was characterized by his humility. And we just read through this in Matthew 1:18-25. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, right? Betrothed, that's what that means. It was like an engagement, okay? It happened, it was about a year. But yet before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. We've kind of, you know, jokingly talked about this. I mean, it's how miraculous this was because virgins don't have babies, right? But again, remember this upside down kingdom that Jesus came to usher in, right? It just goes against anything and everything people could understand. They couldn't get their mind wrapped around this. Joseph obviously knew that the child was not his. And so right here off the bat, in the first advent, you have a scandal, don't you? And oh, don't we love scandals here in the good old USA, right? So you have a scandal. There's a teenage girl that is with child, and Joseph knows the child is not his, right? So the Jerry Springer show would be all over this one, right? Mary was not just a virgin. She was an unmarried virgin, church. This is why Joseph, we read of him being resolved to divorce her quietly, because the Son of God was born to an unwed mother. So you think about this whole concept of humility. When I think about the humility of the birth of Christ, I think about how he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, yes, but he came where there was no room for him at the inn. And they laid him in a feeding trough, basically, that the animals ate out of. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes rather than anything with, you know, the Southern Tide store was already closed, you know, for the season, I guess, right? Right? And so they had to wrap him in swaddling clothes because that's all that they had. I think about that's a humble birth, right? But when I also think about humility, I think about how Mary and Joseph must have felt. You think there was some humility there on the complete opposite end, right? A teenage, unwed mother, right? Joseph, who knew that the child was not his, but knew all the ridicule was coming his way, right? I mean, technically, according to Old Testament law, he could have stoned her to death, right? He could have made a public scrutiny out of her, and he could have stoned her to death. But you also see Joseph's humility, that he was resolving, Scripture says, to divorce her quietly. Think about this. I mean, you have all these things. The virgin birth. You know, Mary's pregnancy in verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ took place this way when his mother Mary had betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Think about this. Betrothal was a little bit different from engagements, because many engagements didn't make it to the wedding day. Betrothal was a binding, as in marriage. It was a year-long period before marriage in which the couple was considered husband and wife. Now, they lived together separately during this period, and they were not to share any kind of physical intimacy until the wedding. But a betrothal was so binding that it could only be terminated by divorce. I think it's safe to say they probably took marriage a little bit more seriously than we do today. During her betrothal to Joseph, Mary became pregnant before they came together in marriage, and the language of the text suggests that Mary did not break the news to Joseph. It became apparent as her growing baby bump began to show. But the biggest surprise was that Mary's child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You remember in Luke 1, 34 and 35, Mary asked, "How will this be?" when the angel came to her, "since I'm a virgin." The angel Gabriel tells Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So you see Mary's pregnancy in this humility. You also see Joseph's problem. Verse 19 tells us that Joseph responded to the crisis of her pregnancy about he was unwilling to put her to shame, so he wanted to resolve to divorce her quietly. You know what this tells me? This tells me that Joseph was a man of character. Verse 19 called Joseph a just man. He trusted, he obeyed God. He was zealous in keeping the law of God, but Joseph would not commit any kind of act that would publicly humiliate Mary. He didn't embrace an alternative lifestyle to the day. He believed that God is true, that sin was wrong, and that holiness was right. But he was also a man of compassion. Joseph's heart was broken by the notion that Mary was unfaithful to him during her betrothal. But he didn't respond in anger or bitterness or vengeance. Joseph was more concerned about how the unfolding circumstances would affect Mary. Godliness and truth and love, judgment and mercy, conviction and compassion. Joseph models for us, church, true godliness. And so you see all this stuff going on, the angelic announcement, the truth about Mary, the truth about Jesus, and we'll eventually get to the Christmas story in Luke 2. Mike and I, we're moving toward that. But you see this concept of humility that's all around the birth of Christ. Are you with me this morning, church? We also see in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, this continued humility of the birth of Christ. It says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. We were going to name Caleb Quirinius, but Caleb just sounded better. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. You continue to see this humility that was there. In Luke, we're given the details of the birth of Christ. Because of the registration, Mary and Joseph had to go up to Bethlehem. The city was crowded, the inn was full, and the only place they could stay was among the animals. Imagine that story, telling your grandkids. Well, I was born among the animals, right? So the Lord of the whole universe spent his first night on the very earth that he created, lying in a feeding trough. Get your mind wrapped around that for just a second. There's a lot of humility in that, right? We see clearly, I think, that the first advent was characterized by humility. But the second advent of Christ is going to be characterized by his exaltation. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31, Scripture says this: immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So when the Lord returns, according to Scripture, the second time, he tells us that it will be with power and with great glory. He won't be coming through a shameful situation. No, he will fill the heavens with his glory. He won't return to the manger that he was born in, but he will be on the throne, right? And he will be exalted high above any and everything. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 is probably the verse of Scripture that sums up both his humility and exaltation the best way that I've put it. And Mike has preached on this text a few times beautifully. Jesus says, have this mind among you, have this mind among yourselves. We'll go back to verse 5, but I want to home in on verses 9 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a good thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see that there? You see the mixture of both? His humility, but also his exaltation. After Christ finished the work of the first advent, Paul tells us that the Father highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ is now exalted. He is the exalted one, and his second coming will be characterized by this exaltation. So, this first Sunday of Advent, as we see the humility of Christ coming in his humble birth, in Joseph and Mary's humble response to the task that God had given them and he had called them to, and as we see that this Americanized, sissified version of Jesus doesn't exist according to Scripture, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will be coming back on the white horse, and his name will be Faithful, right? And he is coming to prove to the nations that he is God, yes? Our question this morning, and I think should be every Sunday, how should we respond to this truth? Well, here's the thing. I think we should respond to Christ's humility and Christ's exaltation with humble lives of worship. Yes, church? If Christ so humbled himself, then surely we can humble ourselves and serve others. He is surely worthy of such. And so my prayer for us on this first Sunday in Advent is may we live lives that model Christ's humility and proclaim Christ's exaltation to the ends of the earth. We invite you to join us this Advent season to remember the hope that is ours because of Christ and because of the gospel and because of the truth that he came to usher in. And as we do that, Christ is exalted in our life when we humble ourselves and bow the knee before him, just as we read about in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And so we begin this morning by saying, come thou long expected Jesus. In humility and exaltation, from a manger to the throne, in my heart and in yours, making us look more like Jesus to a world that is in desperate need of knowing him. we have an incredible opportunity this morning, and Mike and I, you know, some, I guess, preacher boys just get giddy about stuff like this. You know, we're sitting there having a, we have like 3.5 hour breakfast. It just, like, nothing gets done the rest of the day because we're just talking about church and stuff. But, you know, being the fourth Sunday when we have and celebrate communion in the Lord's table, you know, we have the elements here. The body of Christ that was broken for us and the blood of Christ that was shed for us. But at the same time, we're also looking at the candle of hope that's offered in week one of Advent. And so this is the only service here in this time of year where you're going to see both, right? You're going to see the hope that this candle represents, that Christ represents when he came long ago, that's pointing forward to this reality that's on the table today. That he came to give us hope, but he came and was born, as Mike said earlier, for the purpose of dying. So that that hope that he spoke about and ushered in could become real in your heart and in mine. And so I'm just reminded this morning that this table right here is not Brian's table or Mike's table. It's not even Grace Life Church's table. There's somebody whose table is far greater than any of us here. This is Christ's table, amen? And he invites all of us who would come. That's Scripture says that for as many who would come, he invites you this morning to come and to remember the story of hope in Advent, but also to remember back to his sacrifice. And if you are resting and placing your faith and your trust and your hope in Christ this morning, this table is for you. Does everyone have a communion cup? Everybody got one? Does anybody need one? Okay, I know we've got some Brandon and Howard here if you need one, okay? You guys can go ahead and get that ready, and I'm going to have Mike come join me at the table as we do each and every communion Sunday. But here's the beautiful thing. This first Sunday in Advent, we get to look back at the old story of Jesus and his love. And we're reminded, Scripture tells us, that on the night that he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples in the upper room, and he broke bread. He took bread. He gave thanks, and then he broke it. And as he broke it, he looked at his disciples, and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And Scripture says, likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and he gave thanks, he blessed it, and then he said that this cup represented his blood of the new covenant that was poured out for you and for me, for the forgiveness, for the remission of our sins. And he told them, as often as you do this, drink of this cup, would you do it in remembrance of me? And so he reminds us this morning of this hope that Advent brings, the reality that we see that hope was pointing toward the cross this entire time. That our sin, our brokenness, our all the ways that we have fallen short of the glory of God, Scripture says, were taken care of because of the reality that Mike's holding in his hands right now and what it represents. So this morning together as a church family, we're reminded that this is the body of Christ that's broken for you and for me. And this is the blood of Christ that is shed for you and for me. Let's partake together as the body of Christ and celebrate all that we are because of him. Amen. Body of Christ, broken for you, Mike. Blood of Christ shed for you, brother.
Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, thanking him for all that we've just been reminded of and celebrated together as a church family. Will you pray with me? God, you are so good to us. And we stand here at your table together as the body of Christ known as Grace Life Church of Paris. And we just say thank you. God, in our brokenness and in our humility, we're reminded of that first Advent, even as we celebrate the table today. We're reminded of the hope that was needed because we were a people without hope. And you made that hope possible because of the broken body and the shed blood of your son, Jesus. And so, God, we just come this morning to say thank you. Father, and we are reminded of that the prayer that your son prayed and taught us to pray. And together, we just want to pray that as a church family this morning. And let this just be our heart of thanks to you for all that you've done for us. And so we pray this morning, church, as Jesus taught us to pray and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.